Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Longhorn Republic, your source for Texas Longhorn news, sports, and opinions with a bit of snark built. And we are a podcast of Burnt Orange Nation. You could find more great Texas Longhorn content over at burntorangenation.com. If you like what we do, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Helps get the show out there. Share this with your friends. Wherever you found it, whether it was Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, anywhere where you find fine podcast content, you could find Kyle and myself. Connect with us on social media at Longhorn Pod, Facebook and Instagram, The Longhorn Republic, or shoot us an email, longhornrepublicpod@gmail.com. My name is Gerald Goodrich. I'm your host this week, like I am every week, and I'm joined by the podcast Dr. Seuss, Kyle Carpenter. Kyle, how are you?
My eggs are green, and my hambo is blue. I don't know. Where are we going with that one? I appreciate being called the doctor, but I think I'm more like a doctor of funk than a Dr. Seuss. What do you got for me, Joe?
Pusha T called himself the Dr. Seuss of a certain substance, so we'll just leave it at that. If you know, you know.
A legend in his own time. If you're going to do one thing well, do it very well. And my man Pusha does.
For 2 decades.
Yeah, my man Pusha does one thing, and boy, does he do it well. 36 minutes was not the longest album, but it just means you can listen to it on repeat. Anyways.
Get more streams in a day. That's why shorter movies are better for movie companies. We're not here to talk about hip-hop albums, even though Kyle and I would love to do that. Is there another podcast of just two dudes talking about hip-hop? I'm sure there isn't one out there. We'd be the first, I'm sure.
Maybe two dudes with beards. We might be the first one. I don't know. Maybe that's our market.
I think so. Definitely. There's probably a gap in the market, dudes talking about hip hop podcasts. Now we're here to talk a little bit of a Thursday off topic stuff. Obviously we started off topic. We'll continue to be off topic. We've been teasing this for a while, but we have, we're going back to the well and doing one of our favorite goofy questions. We asked people, in our kind of rapid fire section during one of our season preview summers, if you had to pick one player, past or present, on your football team to be a professional wrestler, who would be and why? So Kyle and I never got the opportunity to answer that. So we will do that today, giving you some choices for Texas players. We'll obviously have some BOL, some big basketball transfer news, and some not transfer news happening on the 40 acres. Then we'll close it out with some Godzillatron, because this is basically just an entertainment show from top to bottom, and it feels good to me. One of the things that we did, or do every year, is our like summer preview series, going through the 12 Texas opponents. We have experts come on to talk about it. So that'll be firing up here in the next few weeks. But to bridge the gap, we do something during those. You know, we come up with a new name for it each year. Shooting from the Hip. Kyle had Hooked Them Round, I think, was one that Kyle came up with, that I still will lambaste him for this day. But in that segment, one of the, I think the fan favorites and our favorite questions that we asked was, if there was a player on the team, past or present, that would be a professional wrestler, who would it be and why? And this seemed like the right week, because the Moody Center is opening up and they're going to do probably wrestling events at the Moody Center. There are a lot of wrestling connections to the University of Texas. I mean, we talked about Mark Henry being a big fan, The Undertaker, massive Texas fan. I think he still lives in the Austin area or close enough to drive his motorcycle to campus every now and again. You all know Steve Mongo McMichael, Texas player, was a wrestler for a little bit. And then you've got the OG Dusty Rhodes was actually born in Austin, Texas. Like, there's a lot of wrestling connections with it. Now Kyle and I don't currently watch wrestling, really, but we both grew up watching it, and so it felt like the right time to do this. And so we wanted to take a moment and answer the question that everybody been asking us, clamoring for us to answer, is what Texas players would we like to see or would be the best professional wrestler? So Kyle, with all of that lead up and nonsense, who's your first pick?
So Gerald, is there any more parameters you want to put on this? Do you want to say a time frame of when they're from? Does it need to be current roster? Does it need to be the past 10 years? What's your heart telling you?
I think we just go freeform, Kyle. I think let's just go
okay
wherever.
Okay. All right. Then with my first round pick, I'm going with a man who I wish, honestly, his senior season, he would have just gone out and maybe wrestled. I'm kidding. Of course not. He tried. Brecken Hager is my number one
easy
pick for Longhorn. And yeah, it does feel too easy, right? He had the look. He had the hair. I mean, he's 6'3", 255. He was muscular. He was chiseled. You know, he had the build, the physique. He was quotable. He was ridiculous. I oscillate constantly on this conversation. And I have had this conversation, and Brecken Hager's been my answer. If he would have been the like a heel or a face, basically the good guy or a bad guy, because I think he could have done either. I almost feel like he would have been a better heel because that's what he was to other teams' fans. Ask Oklahoma State fans if they get fired up at all about Brecken Hager. There's reasons, but you know, the guy was a philosophy major from Westlake. Like, he's interesting. He's an interesting cat. He, you know, again, wasn't cutting his hair until they won the Big 12 championship, so I imagine he must have a 12-foot of hair by now. But, you know, he was a wild, interesting dude who, you know, was explosive. Like, I think was never athleticism was never the problem for him, never was motor. So, you know, I could see Brecken Hager cutting a wild promo shoot, wearing a bandana with his long hair and ponytails, you know, jeering at the crowd, and then having, you know, obviously a spear tackle would be one of his signature moves. But I could see him being a big man who get off the top ropes. You know, I it's in his blood when you're Britt Hager's son that you're gonna be good at whatever you do. You know, at least good. Bryce played at Baylor. I think Bravin played at Blinn, and Braun played at North Texas. So all his kids at least played football. So a Hager is gonna play football. But I mean, this is where Brecken, I think, shines on his own. Just, you know, a pair of sunglasses, a bandana around the head, and some long flowing hair with a chiseled athlete's body. I think he's a natural.
I'll allow it. I mean, that's the answer that I think everybody was here for, right? Like, you could see him with that hair tied up in a bandana, some like aviators on, going with the long leggings, maybe boots, going for like a Texas-y look. So my answer is probably a deep cut, you know, not a super deep cut, but a deepish cut. But I think if you know, you know, Texas All-American linebacker Peter Jenkins.
Ooh.
If you don't know who Peter Jenkins is, Peter Jenkins graduated 2015, was a four-year player, I think a two-year starter for Texas, all conference as a senior. But Peter Jenkins is also famous for being the pregame hype man for Texas and getting everybody hyped up. And like, that dude could definitely cut a promo. If you ever heard an interview with Peter Jenkins, that dude could cut a promo. And like, there's the video of him, like, part of his pregame hype was two claps and a Ric Flair. Like, that was
two claps.
He would do it. And like, again, he was a solid athlete, was a star in the 2015 team that, like, when Charlie Strong, the highlight of probably his tenure, they beat OU after losing to TCU by like 40 points. He was one of the defensive standouts in that game where Texas somehow beat a really good OU team that year. Like, so there's a lot to cheer for. Like, he could definitely be like a guy that the crowd can get behind, and he could cut a good promo. The crowd would chant with him when he does his little catchphrase. Like, I really think he would have a future in some sort of wrestling context.
I really like that. Let's keep it going, because I have a really good pick for my next one, I think. Again, going back a little, but I hope he's at the front of everyone's mind. He's already got a built-in nickname. That was a question we occasionally ask some people. The Wild Man from Van. Dalton Santos. Like, he was a fan favorite. They, like, if you think back to that team in the early I guess early 2000s-ish or 2010s-ish when he was there. Came in as a freshman and was, they called that kickoff unit the Wild Bunch, and he was for sure the wildest of it. He was a menace on that kick return. He had just, every time he hit someone when he was, when that was his job, just to run fast and launch yourself at people, like they would be pad, you know, shattering stadium sound, everyone ooh and ah, just had big, big hits. He was 260, ran a 4.5 in the 40, like actually a perfect player. Like he could have, he should have carved out a career as a who is that, not Zach Thomas, the other Dolphins linebacker, Izzo, from back in the day, that just was always like a pro bowler for playing special teams. Like I feel like Santos could have been that. Do you remember all the way back, I think it was his freshman year, when he was playing New Mexico, and the sideline, they caught the guy saying, oh no, before Santos hit him. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So, I mean, like, I remember the way other players used to talk about him on that team, and like how everyone like on the team used words like wild, nuts, crazy, mean, angry. Like he was just, he had all the words you look for. He didn't turn out to be like the type of linebacker who really could translate that into 120 tackles. Like some of those, just like we kind of assumed that that's exactly what he would be, but he had a good career. Had some tough personal stuff off the field, but just, you know, was a fan favorite, and always was a favorite of mine. So just that mentality of just like the crazy dude. I feel like, I don't know exactly what kind of promos he cut, but you can translate crazy pretty well on the state, on the squared circle.
I mean, Dalton Santos was a guy who I think was a couple injuries away from being could have been a solid linebacker for Texas, but I think injuries hurt him. So a contemporary, and honestly the one that I thought you were going to take, fighting out of Angleton, Texas. Quandre Diggs, Quandre the Giant. Like, can you, like that, the, again, built-in nickname. Right?
Yeah.
He would be one of the guys who's doing flying stuff off the top ropes. Like, he always was a guy who played bigger than he was. Again, that's why he earned the nickname Quandre the Giant. He's listed in the Texas. He's somehow shrunk between Texas and the NFL, because I think he's listed at 5'9", question mark, in most NFL rosters. He's 5'10 at Texas, so he somehow lost an inch in the last 10 years. But he's a guy who, again, got personality. People like him. He, if you're looking for confidence, confidence just oozing out of every pore of his body. And again, I think he's a guy who fans would get excited about. He's a guy who you like to listen to. People gravitate toward him, and there's he's got that thing. Like you see him, and you're like, I like that guy. And he's got that thing that I think makes successful entertainers.
Well, he also, yeah, he tells a heck of a tale. You know, he's a good storyteller. He's a great Twitter follow. He seems to have inside jokes with every teammate he's ever been on. So I love that pick. I think that's a good one. But I'm kind of curious that you just left. If Jimmy Hart was the mouth of the South, you just left the beast of the East, the talker from east of Walker. I don't know if Walker actually is a place. It sounds like it would be in East Texas, but I'm missing my line. I didn't have this prepared for my transition, but you set me up so nicely. If you want truly contemporary, the way you would answer this question today, I think the answer is congratulations, new father-to-be of a baby boy, again, with an arm bandit moniker built in. Hailing from the pines of East Texas, I think you're talking about DeMarvion Overshown, D.O. You know, just think about, if you didn't have to wear pads, how many armbands you could really get in if you focused, just, you know, take everything else, strip down to a Speedo or some long pants, and just go armbands everywhere else. I mean, it really builds itself. He has an utterly impeccable fashion sense. Like, when he goes cowboy hats, Western shirt, and boots, I'm like, this guy, like, killing it. He is charismatic. If you follow his TikTok, he's hilarious. He makes incredible, funny, timely TikToks. He's a great interview and soundbite guy even now, but would be a great interview. And obviously a guy who was recruited as a safety and is beefed up to play linebacker is just kind of in that peak exact physical specimen you're looking for. Can move fast, hit hard, you know, hold up and jump as well. So he's got all the tools. I think the steal of the draft, getting him in the third round here, is DeMarvion Overshown.
I didn't know we were doing this draft style and taking DO first. Like, but I have this image where you put tassels on the armband and he comes out like the super, like, ooh, ultimate warrior. Like, you, we add tassels to the armbands, and like, I, you could see him coming out of the tunnel where, like, there was an outfit he wore to one of the games that was a 10-gallon hat, a duster, and like just these boots that were out of my wildest dreams. Like, imagine that with some wrestling tights on, like that coming out, and then he takes off the duster and he's got the armbands with the tassels on them, and they're whatever vibrant colors you want. Like, that is absolutely the right answer for the current team. And again, I didn't know if we were doing this draft style. So do I need to pick another one, or can we just agree that DeMarvian Overshown is the current team's Money in the Bank winner? But I don't know what Raoul Wrestling like works nowadays, the unified champion.
All I know is I've been trying to workshop it while you were saying those last few sentences, exactly what his nickname would be for the Ultimate Warrior reboot. And I think it's the Arptimate Warrior, the man from Arp, Texas. But no, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Did you have any honorable mentions? Because I have a few.
Marquise Goodwin would be another guy that I think, just because he already has the nickname of the Flash. Like, I think that, like, he's just a top tier athlete. He's a leaper. He's a runner. Like, he's got the nickname built in.
I'll say this. Someone who's that fast, who actually won Olympic gold medals, no shade at Kurt Angle, who did it in wrestling, but like, I don't know that you should risk your subjecting your body to that. Like, your upside is too great, legitimately. But yes, Marquise Goodwin. Like, if I were him, I would just sprint around the ring and have someone try to catch me before I Rey Mysterio 619 someone when I swung back through with a kick through the ropes while they were chasing me. That would be a hilarious gambit. But no, he's too precious. Okay. Any others? You can list yours off, and then I'll list mine.
I think that was the last one I had in the tank.
Okay. If he has the size, he's a big man. The belly rubs went viral.
Ooh.
Chris Nelson, you know, knew how to seize the moment and be gif-able. So I think he could be a good one. I mean, Patrick Vahe just looks the part. Like, I think, you know, just the big, and obviously Samoans, if they don't play in the NFL, I think they wrestle. I think, like, 73% of all Samoans do one or both of those things. I'm kidding. But so Vahe is up there.
Anthony Wheeler's a guy who's cut like a wrestler. That guy looks like an action goodness. Figure.
That is not a bad one. I love Deshaun Elliott's, like, personality on social media and the way he plays on the field. I just think he's, like, a good bad guy. He plays for the Ravens, so maybe I'm biased. This is a conversation that I've had many times with friend of the podcast, Eric Verbit. So I had some of these at the ready, but
Verbit is screaming at his phone right now.
I'm sure there's someone. He actually thinks Sam Ehlinger would. He's always said that, and I just don't. Sam's too clean cut and all American, because he'd be he's looks like he should be a good guy, and he looks so perfectly like the good guy that people would end up hating him, and he's too nice to ever be a bad guy. I don't know. Sam couldn't do it, but that's Verbit always says Sam's the guy.
Absolutely. So if you've got any ideas, tweet them at us at Longhorn Pod. We want to hear your thoughts. Give us a player, give us a nickname, give us a finisher, even if you want to. We'd love to hear your ideas. Tweet us at Longhorn Pod. We'll be back next week with another one of these off-topic shows that are keeping us fun and young.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
All right, Gerald, let's now take a look out of the squared circle, out of the ring, into the lenses, Gerald. Let's take a look at the world through some burnt orange lenses. The first bit of news, which is good news involving the transfer portal, it is that someone isn't transferring, Gerald. Marcus Carr followed teammate Timmy Allen, announcing his return to Texas for next year, basically giving Chris Beard a foundation of, I would argue, maybe his three best players towards the end of last season to return. Andrew Jones probably and Ramey had their games and belong in that conversation as well. But the guys who really kind of seem to give Texas the push, you have Bishop, you have Allen, and now you have Marcus Carr all coming back to build on that foundation for next year. And as I mentioned towards the end of the year, Marcus Carr really showed flashes, I think, of what he could be. If you think back a couple weeks to the two tournament NCAA tournament games, Carr averaged 19 points per game, hitting 7 of 13 from deep, 54%, 16 assists to just 3 turnovers. Basically, what we thought we would be getting all year from him. So the fact that he's coming back, the fact that we know there's some other ball handlers and people who can penetrate and break down defenses, and he won't have to do that all himself, it'll be really interesting. I'm actually more excited about where he fits into our offense next year than maybe I was in mid-February when, you know, there were some good games and there were some struggles.
I mean, we've said it before multiple times as we talked about, like, his potential return, but Texas fans expected a different Marcus Carr, and understandably, because he was kind of a different guy in at his last stop. And so, but part of that was because he was playing out of position at Texas. He's not necessarily your trigger man point guard. And so bringing people in that can play that position and let him be the scorer gives Texas another person that can attack the basket or create an open shot and not have to facilitate the offense, because you lose some of his athleticism and some of his ability when he's having to play that role. So it's not necessarily his strongest role. So I'm glad to see him come back and really play more in his natural position. Cause like, dude scored 1700 points in his career. He's a scorer and he can be a scorer, and 19 points per game is a good average for him.
Absolutely.
But I think he can do better. Like, and that seems weird to say, but like, I think there is a world in which he doesn't have to be both the scorer and the facilitator, and Texas is better for it.
If he's hitting his three-point at that rate, obviously 54% is not necessarily super sustainable, and including half-court heaves if he hits all of those too. But if he's hitting his three at, say, a 37, 38, 39% clip, if he's, you know, can be have his feet set, have someone like Rotario Morris who can break down a defense, pull a defender, and give him an open look, and he's hitting 40% of his threes, then he's a batch scorer. He's a I get hot and I score. So then all of a sudden it probably opens up his drives to the basket even more. Like, when he feels it, he has another level. So I really like the idea of him being able to get some open looks, because this year it felt like he took a lot of tough shots and had to kind of create a lot for himself. And so I agree with you. But I mean, just to say that he can still facilitate and to have as a second ball handler is great, because he is one of four players actively in NCAA Division I basketball to have 1,700 points, 500 assists, and 400 rebounds. So he's a scorer first, but he can facilitate. But again, you like that as a luxury, not a necessity. All right, Gerald, let's keep it to basketball, but move it to the other side. Women's basketball, coming off of their Elite Eight run, looked incredible last season and looked like they had more in the tank even, but they've had some shakeup. We've already talked about some players leaving and some coaches leaving to take head coaching jobs. So they will be announcing and filling up the staff as well as the roster with some new faces. And the first of those is Sydney Carter was announced as their director of player development. And she has a history with Vic Schaefer. And also, again, if you think about like Howard Jaffe with the tennis team, anytime you get a notable Aggie and bring them over, Vic Schaefer, and they come have success at UT, it's double success, because not only is it good for UT, but it burns the Aggies so bad. They cannot see it. It hurts their soul. But she played under Vic on the 2011 National Championship Aggie team, was a three-time captain for them, captain on the National Championship team, basically went and played professional and came home and coached, started a career under now retired, but Aggie great and mentor to Vic Schaefer, Gary Blair in College Station.
I'm never going to be mad when Texas steals a coach from Texas A&M, especially somebody like Sydney Carter, who has a national championship pedigree. She's a high-level competitor. She's a high-character person. She's the kind of person that like you really want to be on your team and helping guide and mold and shape the culture and mind and goal to shape the minds of the people on the team. And again, she's got a lot of familiarity with Coach Schaefer and kind of the Vic Schaefer tree. And Texas has the opportunity to again continue to mold itself and shape itself into a national power in women's basketball. And I think Cindy Carter's the type of person you want on your bench to help you do that.
And she'll be in the director of player development. Last year, she served as player development coach and the assistant recruiting coordinator. So I'm sure she'll be helping on the recruiting trail as well, which, you know, Vic with Coach Lovato and now her is always going to have recruiters on his staff. That's just never, you're not going to have a Vic Schaefer team without it. But she's legitimately seen as one of the rising stars in the sport. And when Vic talked about it in a press conference, he mentioned that she basically is going to shape players both on the court and also off. And she's someone who, you know, when Coach Phillips left, it's like, man, who's gonna have the best fits on the sideline? And she was always viral for her game day outfits, and then, you know, showed a lot of just courage in the sometimes backlash and criticism that comes to any person, but a woman of color wearing an outfit and being audacious enough to post it online. By the way, just if you're a male listening to this,
leave people alone.
Yeah, be nice to women, especially online. They have a tough time, man. It's tough to be a man online, but it's real tough to be a woman online. But anyways, just her grace and courage under duress or fire or whatever, I think was what Vic was alluding to. But you like having a ton of people around your program at every level who, you know, can do it on and off the court.
Absolutely.
So also they had a couple of players who will be joining on the 40 acres. First is a immediate addition to the team, Oregon State transfer Taylor Jones. She's from Texas originally, so it's a homecoming of sorts for her. She has the kind of one of the two tools that I think Vic was looking for this offseason. Wanted some more size, as you saw some, you know, of the post players with Ebo leaving, and you saw when you go up against the Giants of Stanford just where you could be exposed. She's 6'4". She'll immediately come in and be the second tallest player on the roster. Femisudi is 6'5". She has 2 years of eligibility left, was injured for most of last season, but she was an all Pac-12 player. She's a defensive juggernaut. She can do, you know, all the things you want a big to do. I think it's going to be a really good fit into this team.
Like you said, Vic Schaefer was looking for athletic size. I think he was a little frustrated with Lauren Ebo, and she was an incredible player and led the team in rebounds and rebounds per game. But I think her inability to run the floor as quickly or as agilely as he hoped, getting a player in like Taylor Jones, who, like you said, all-conference defender, she's an absolute baller. I think she's got two years of eligibility left, coming over from Oregon State. And so this is a team that was led by underclassmen last year, for better or for worse. And so getting some elder players with experience to go along with the talented Rory Harmons of the world or the talented Aaliyah Moores of the world. It's good to have that senior leadership that can also play on the floor and get you good, solid defensive minutes.
Yeah, really, really compliments Aaliyah Moore very well. I think she'll play the five next to Moore at the four. She led the Pac-12 in blocks. She, you know, can scoop up rebounds, doesn't need the ball all the time to still get her points. She can get second chance points. Just, I think, really, in my opinion, quite likely the best big in the portal this year. Texas just nabbed. So Vic does it again. And then a player who I think is just woefully underrated. You're from Central Texas. You've heard of her, no doubt. Currently the ESPN number 45 rated player in the country, but I think she could easily be a top 10 player by the time she steps foot on campus. I'm talking about the newest addition to the 2023 class, four-star guard Gisella Maul, G-Maul, G-Money, as she goes by, a two-time state champion at Cedar Park just down the road. She said Texas was her dream school, grew up going to Texas camps. She announced on Monday that she would be attending the University of Texas. This is someone who still has a senior year to go and has already written an entire high school career, has done everything you can do, won two state championships, and was MVP of those state championships her sophomore and junior year.
I mean, she also is a big sneakerhead, and I think the University of Texas needs more sneakerheads. Once again, I'm saying this to everybody that listens to this podcast. The amount of money I would pay for these custom burnt orange forces and Jordan 1s that these people have, like, I would not put a kid through college, like, to have. No, I'm joking, but again, big sneakerhead, big addition. The class is shaping up really nicely, and you know, Texas Landing, you know, a big from Flower Mound, and then you've got a big from your backyard at Cedar Park, and then you've got Samantha Wagner. So size, talent, Texas, again, Schaefer is building a monster here, and I'm not upset about it.
Yes, Samantha Wagner is a five-star. She's probably the challenge. They're the two best players, I think. I mean, they are the two best-ranked players in the state of Texas, and I think they could both end up inside the top 15 by the time they step foot on campus. But yeah, when you said big, don't forget Abby Boutillier is 6'9", Gerald, from Flower Mound, and technically still growing. She was 6'6" last year, so she's grown three inches from her sophomore to junior season. So one more year, 6'9", Gerald. Whew.
Kyle, I went from 5'6" to 5'9", and got stuck there. So I'm very, very jealous.
It's all good, Gerald. You may get blocked by either of our recent bigs, the woman from Oregon.
No may about it. No may about it. They will send that right back into my face.
Or the one from Flower Mound. All right, Gerald, what are you watching on your giant screen? Let's talk a little Godzillatron.
Didn't do a ton of like new stuff. My wife and I stayed current on Top Chef, and like I'm currently doing a Scrubs rewatch because I just needed that like sweatpants show in my life, because you know, you just want some comfort to slide into it. Started a new audiobook, The House on the Cerulean Sea. It's like a fantasy-ish book. My wife recommended it. Pretty good so far. But the big thing, finally, somehow dodged all of the spoilers between like the theatrical release and the home release, but I finally got to see The Batman, and I was very, very pleased with it. There was probably like, you know, the issue with The Batman is that they could have cut like 30 minutes from the movie and probably a whole character from the movie, but if they cut the character that would make the most sense, they would have zero women in substantive roles in that movie. And so I get like that's the issue with comic book movies in and of themselves. And like I get what Zoe Kravitz and Catwoman were doing and what they were for in that movie, but you could have streamlined it a little bit. But again, that's the problem with not having, you know, substantive women, female roles and representation in a lot of these movies. But I loved it. I thought it was great. I've controversially said already that I think Robert Pattinson is the best Batman. I still think Christian Bale is the best Bruce Wayne. They're two very different characters. Robert Pattinson at least is my preferred Batman, at least live action Batman. Enjoyed what he did, and I think Matt Reeves very much gets Batman and said the thing that a lot of us want to say is like Batman conceptually is not like a good person or a good character, because like as a billionaire you can do way more good by like creating scholarship funds and funding education and funding social services than you can by beating up people with mental health problems in the streets. So like that's kind of like the central point of the movie, is like, is Batman good for what we're trying to do in the world? So it was an interesting movie. I really enjoyed it. I like kind of the deconstruction of that character, because we've seen a lot of Batman now since, you know, Batman 87, you know, what, 30 years ago now, which, wow, we are longer than that. Very long time ago. But anywho, enjoyed it. Thought it was great. It's 3 hours, so if you want to watch it, carve out some time.
Very good. Good to know. I personally feel as I have not seen enough billionaires portrayed as superheroes in cable news, so I needed it. No, I'm kidding. Gerald, I actually, so you mentioned Top Chef. I have stayed current. I'm loving the season, obviously, in Houston, and I've had some cool opportunities to eat Top Chef food. So I've done Top Chef on TV and also IRL. Shouts to Chef Joe out of Austin and Chef Evelyn, the two Texas chefs on the show, teaming up for a little pop-up that was an 8-minute walk from my house. So I got to walk over, eat their food, talk to them. It was very cool. Obviously, I don't ask who the spoilers are. Chef Evelyn is so awesome. Like, even if she didn't do great on the show, I would think she's amazing, because I've had her food before. But also, she was at another pop-up and made pupusas. And it's just like, all of her food is amazing. If you're in Houston, check out Chef Evelyn and Kin, which is her and another chef's kind of food arm. They don't have a brick and mortar. They're doing pop-ups and they do events and things, markets, most like farmers markets. They're usually there. They work their tails off. Chef Joe was great as well. But again, if you're in Houston, check out Chef Evelyn there. But and check out Top Chef. If you don't know who Chef Evelyn is, check out. It's good season. You can play the guessing game of where are they in Houston? Where is that? But I did watch a narrative show. I've been diving deep into a show that I've kind of put off, meant to watch, always knew I was going to watch, but put off. I wanted to check real quick, Gerald, before I get too deep. Can't remember. You're not a Breaking Bad guy, right?
I'm not.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so this is effectively the continuation of Breaking Bad. It's like if that Joey spinoff from Friends was like really well written and
good,
budgeted well and shot well and made really good. And if you enjoyed the world, then you will enjoy this kind of subversion of it, this little pocket of a character. It's both a prequel and technically a sequel because they flash forward and back a bit. I'm only through almost the second season of Better Call Saul. So it's Bob Odenkirk, who is a legend.
Incredible.
Just his comedy and his drama. Like, he's pretty good. I think he recently had an action movie come out. He recently had a health scare, right? So the fifth season, I can't wait to see, because it's like, wow, this guy literally was near death with some heart issues, like as they were getting ready to shoot the final bit of it. But anyways, it's ending IRL. It's in the second half of the fifth season, if you will, the final season. I'm still back in season two, so I can't make all the grand sweeping judgments. But I will say, if you loved Breaking Bad, you will love this world that you're taken back into. My favorite... ooh, that's tough to say. One of my favorite characters, maybe my favorite character from Breaking Bad, was Mike Ehrmantraut, who's kind of like the non-biased, like, not the audience's, you know, POV, but he almost is the conscience without really saying it. He kind of is always right and always good and kind of makes things happen and is such a compelling character in the first show, and then he plays just steals the entire screen when he's on it in Better Call Saul. I obviously, like I said, love the character of Saul, and it's his backstory of how he gets there. It's a lot of legal procedural, so it's an interesting, if you're a lawyer, I bet you love the heck out of this show. Some of that can be a little dry, a little mundane, but there's a lot of doc review, a lot more than I thought would be in a good show. But it's just so well made and shot, and it's low stakes but like still interesting, and you know, they dip into the drug world and you see how he becomes kind of this drug world underbelly underworld lawyer when he starts not that way. And so it's interesting. It's an interesting watch, and I think I'm going to really enjoy the second half of this show as I finish the second season, then head into the 3, 4, and 5 times 2. So loving it so far. My wife has been out of town, so it's been a good chance just to binge, just to have it on whenever I'm doing anything. If I'm doing chores, if I'm cooking, if I'm doing something, it's been on, and there are times I just sit down and am completely absorbed doing nothing because it's a good enough show to go either way.
Breaking Bad is like the one that everybody's shocked to know I don't like. There were a couple things that turned me off about Breaking Bad. I struggled with like cheering for an objectively horrible person. Like, that's just what the show is. It kind of forces you to examine, like, why am I cheering for this person? And I didn't like the answers that I had, and I also didn't like people's reactions to his wife. The online reaction to Skyler, sure, kind of turned me off to Breaking Bad and the fandom. But it's an incredible show, and it got all the accolades that it got were deserved, but it just wasn't necessarily for me. And guys, we need to have that conversation. Just because something's not for you doesn't mean it's bad. I'm not saying Breaking Bad is bad. I'm saying it wasn't for me, and that's okay.
While I respect your opinion, you're wrong, because it's not my opinion. So you're absolutely wrong. That's how the internet works. You've been rebutted. Now we can close.
And that's all we've got for you this week. Kyle, where can the good folks find you on the internet?
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Carbon. You can also follow the Texas Pregamer at Texas Pregamer.
You can follow me on Twitter. I am at GH Goodrich. Follow the show on Twitter at Longhorn Pod. Facebook and Instagram, The Longhorn Republic. Or shoot us an email, longhornrepublicpod@gmail.com. Thank you so much for tuning in again this week. And until next time, hook 'em.
Hook 'em. Keep wrestling.
This episode was supported by Reddit for Business. You want the right attention for your business, but you don't know where to get it. It should be a place where people actually take the time to engage with your ads. Why not try Reddit? They seem to have the whole engagement thing down pat. With over 100,000 communities, Reddit users are some of the most active online. Meet your potential customers where they feel most at home, with 90% of users trusting Reddit to learn about new products and brands. Just go to redditforbusiness.com/vox to learn more.